Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Bible to the Gospel of John chapter 4, and God is here in this room, and this story is about Jesus pointing out eternal living water. That this isn't water that you can touch or water that you can put in a drink bottle. That this is water for our souls, water for our spirit, water for your heart. And wherever you're at right now in this room, you're going to have an opportunity today to drink this water in. And this water gives real life. You might not be parched because you might have just visited the bubbler or the drinking fountain. Bubbler is an Aussie word, isn't it? We call drinking fountains in Australia bubblers. Bubbler. Somebody say bubbler. So, but you might be fine in your physical body. You might not be thirsty in your physical body, but sometimes we can find ourselves parched inside our souls, inside our heart. And if that is you here today, the presence of the living God is in this room, and you have an opportunity to drink. Turn to the person next to you and say, drink. Let's drink. Spiritual stuff. Not like the other stuff. Why is this so wobbly? What is happening? Somebody will fix that later. Yeah, Josh is like, I'm on it. All right. How many people love Josh Ray? What a legend. He's my brother-in-law, if you didn't know that. I'm the stronger one out of the two of us. I know. It's smoke and mirrors. Much like Natasha's Thrones message. All right. John chapter 4 and verse 4. Here we go. Story about a woman in the Bible that Jesus had to engage and then reach past some of her own preconceptions and then reach down into the real stuff that's going on. And how many people know that we can encounter Jesus with a whole bunch of masks and stuff going on that veils in front of the real stuff? And sometimes it takes God a little bit of strategy to get behind all that stuff to speak to us about what's really going on. But that's the way we like to do church here at C3, is we like to make it real, and it's good. So let's read. We'll do a little bit of a Bible study, and we'll get into it. John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, now he had, this is talking about Jesus, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came down to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the journey, sat down. It's kind of an interesting thought to think that God of heaven, in the form of man, Jesus, could be tired. And Jesus likes to stress all the way through the Gospels that he is 100% human at the same time as he is 100% God. And so Jesus stops, and it was about noon, where the sun would have been the highest, it would have been in the hottest part of the day, and stops. But when he sees, so he's tired, he's exhausted. And we can get exhausted feeling like we're trying to be a Christian, and you might get exhausted in your Christian life sometimes, and you might stop. But Jesus had, there was a greater need that pulled his heart in the moment that this woman came by the well. And so he was tired on his journey. He was in the middle of something. He was headed somewhere in life. But when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, everything changed for Jesus. Because Jesus has a calling, just like you. Jesus was on a journey, but while he was in the middle of his journey, he stopped. And while even though he was tired and he was en route to somewhere, do you ever stop your busy life to open up your life for somebody that doesn't know the Jesus that you know? Do you ever stop on your road, even when you're tired? Would you be willing when you're tired? Have you ever been in those moments where you feel like God is speaking to you to go the extra mile for someone? Or, you know, someone posts a message on the team page, moving this weekend, would love some help. And you kind of like duck for cover. You're like, busy. Being a Christian sometimes is we're on the road in our life. We're doing life, trying to be about something. But then God will give us these moments of opportunity where we can be interrupted in our life. And even if we're exhausted, we have to be willing, in the example of Jesus, to step out again, because there are people in need that have what we don't have. And that might mean that you might need to sign up and be a Connect Group leader. But Sam, I'm tired. So is Jesus. So get a drink this morning so that you can lead another Connect Group. Somebody say amen. Amen. Never too tired to do what we're called to do. When the Samaritan woman came to him, verse 7, to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Sometimes the way Jesus engages us is he requires from us first. Because we don't even know that we should require on Jesus. And sometimes Jesus will call on you, call on us to be about something, to be about the church, or to be about something. You don't even know in that moment how much we need Jesus. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How?" I'm confused. It surprises me. "How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews don't ever associate with Samaritans. The Samaritans were people of compromise. And the Jews were people that thought they had everything going on, thought they had everything right. So Jewish people, even though on the journey where Jesus was, going from one place to go towards Jerusalem, that this place in Samaria, Sychar, was the shortest route, Jews used to go the long way around to avoid this place because they didn't want their righteousness being in contact with somebody that was living a life of compromise. But obviously, this doesn't count for us. We're not like this. You're not like this. You would be more than willing to come in contact with people that don't know Jesus the way you know Jesus, or whatever. But this is the way, he's proving this point. But she was surprised of this man who was clearly a Jew and clearly a rabbi in her eyes, that he was a man, and in that day men didn't really associate or talk with women, especially without the presence of their wife around. Sometimes you would notice that a couple would do it, but Jesus didn't have a significant other, and so she was surprised by that. She was surprised that he would require of her. She was surprised that he would go through that town when he was a Jew and he wasn't meant to. And she was surprised that because he was a Jew, that he would even associate with a Samaritan, let alone start a conversation with her. I want to tell you that Jesus breaks every rule to reach out to your life. Jesus broke the rules of, that's what we just sung. What king would take off his crown? Jesus. That's the answer to that song. If you didn't get that, so who is it? It's Jesus. That he is the type of God that would leave heaven, come down to earth and be born in a manger and die on a cross naked and ashamed for you. The question isn't, would he be willing to reach out to you? The question is, would you be willing enough to open your life to him? That's the question. And she didn't know at that point. And we can read that in the next verse. Jesus answered her, "If you knew," someone say that, "if you knew." "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you actually would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Living water. The problem was that she didn't know who she was talking to. So Jesus has to create this scene so she discovers who she is. A lot of the people that come into C3 will come in and don't actually know what's available right in front of them. There's a table set, there's a church set, and there is something for you to experience in your life that is available right in front of you. And I hope that this morning that you would know Jesus in a greater way, that you would be, that you would have enough insight to pull from it, to drink from it, and draw from this eternal water that's available to you. "Sir," the woman said in verse 11, "but you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, where can you get this living water? It's a good question. It's a good observation. My question to you is how do you draw from the living water? What do you have to draw with? What do you have to draw from God? The way you draw the water from heaven is faith. Somebody say faith. Belief. He has to lift up this Samaritan woman's level of belief. When she believes, she receives. You can come in church and be a part of worship with no faith and miss out on the benefit of worship. You can be a part of the preach with no faith and miss out on the benefit of the word of God that is before you. You can tithe in church and give in church financially, but if you do not have faith in that moment, you might not actually receive the eternal value that better is he that gives than he that receives. Your life is a life of faith. Somebody say faith. So you draw with faith and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water? And then here's the best question. Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob? The title of today's message is Jesus is Greater. It is the most important question, the most important inquiry of any person's heart living in the city of Toronto. Is Jesus greater? If we don't know that Jesus is greater than our friends, we might try and draw from our friends what we should be drawing from Jesus. If we don't know that Jesus is greater than our job, we might try and draw from the economy, from the economical stability of income when we ought to be drawing from God. If we don't know that Jesus is greater from even physical health and from trying to find the sources, we don't know that Jesus is greater from having that glass of wine, that we don't know that Jesus is greater from trying to go on vacation. If we don't know that Jesus is greater than vacation, we will never go to Him for rest. Jesus is greater than Mexico. A little bit. Mexico's going on vacation in Mexico is pretty up there. Somebody say all inclusive. Jesus is greater. And when you know that He's the greatest source, then your requirement from sources diminishes because you get your fulfilling from Jesus. When you get your fulfilling from Jesus, then you can live a Christian life that's not about you and it's about other people. He will feed your thirst first. But once you've been fulfilled from heaven, then it's your job to go out there and be a Christian and start fulfilling. Jesus is greater than the Father. That was a great question. She didn't know the answer, so Jesus provided the answer. Who gave this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and the livestock. Jesus answered, here's the answer. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. And she received the water. And she received the water. Point one in Jesus is greater is we are all thirsty. We all have thirst somewhere. Even Jesus started the conversation by appealing to her, by telling her that he actually has a thirst. Jesus even showed himself as human, as a thirst. The very thing that could block you receiving from heaven is if you think you've got it all together. Do you know that you have a need? Do you know that you need Jesus? Do you know that you need Jesus? Do you know that you need Jesus? Do you know that you need Jesus to mother those children? Do you know that you need Jesus to be married to that husband? That's a wife in this room said, yeah, there is no delusion about that fact, Pastor Sam, including my wife, who's sitting there saying, amen, I know. Do you know that you need Jesus to take on those clients? Do you know that you need Jesus for your identity? Do you know that you need Jesus for your security? Do you know that you need Jesus for those fears, for that depression, for that pain that you face? Do you know that you need Jesus to stop second-guessing yourself? Do you know that you need Jesus to follow out the calling of God on your life? Do you know that you need Jesus because you can't go to the next level in your world without pulling on Jesus? There is living water that's available to you, and my Bible says in Psalms that he who plants by rivers of living water will bear fruit in and out of season. I'm confused, Sam, because I bore fruit last year, but this year, 2018, hasn't been going the way I thought it would go. Well, I want to tell you that you need Jesus in 2018 just like you needed him in 2017. You need him today, you need him tomorrow, you need him the next day, you need him the next month. You need Jesus. For every Christian on the planet, we need to understand that we need Jesus, that we need to be beggar. The first beatitude is, blessed is he who's poor in spirit. We're always poor in spirit. You've got to understand that you have need. The question is where are you drinking? Where are you drinking? Noah, my son, when he was a baby. That's confusing. And a weird image. My son, when he was younger, baby, he would be in the bath and he would get exhausted in the bath. Now, when we would give him a drink of water in a cup and he would be bathing in water, he would think, in logic, this is water. I've been playing in the bath. I am thirsty. I'll drink the bath water. Any mums? Anyone? Yeah, that happens. And so, like, he would get his little chipmunk cup hands, and then he would, remember that, his little chipmunk hands? Oh, I haven't seen those for a while. That was cute. That was a nice little flashback moment. And then he would drink the water. Now, the first time we took Noah on vacation to Australia, the first thing that you do when you arrive in Sydney is you go to the beach. That's just what you do. And so we went down to the beach, and we put Noah's little rashie on, put sunscreen all over his body, and let him go. And so he goes down to the water, and it's just a giant bath. Now the sun is hot in Australia. He gets thirsty. What does he do? But I remember that he was so confused that the salt water could not quench his thirst if, in fact, it actually made him more thirsty. This is how many people live life. That if we don't drink from the right well, we keep drinking from different wells, and we wonder why that sour water causes us to be thirsty all the more. Our soul continues to thirst because there is only one thirst-quenching source. There is only one life-giving spring, and his name is Jesus. Fact. His name is Jesus. So point two is Jesus is greater. We read it in John 4:12. It says, are you greater than Jacob? Are you greater than the source that I've been going to? What sources do you go to? What do you rely on? What do you rely on? And we fit the sovereignty of God and we try and package it down into a place that we don't need to change because this we always get pushed to trust God greater. To trust God greater. And if we can package God into a position that we can keep turning to our other sources and only turn to the sources in the areas that we do trust him, but he doesn't want to just be trusted in the areas of that we trust him easily. He wants to be trusted in all areas. So when you get uncomfortable when Pastor Jess is doing the offering message, and God keeps twisting that little thought in you. Do you trust me with your finances? Do not lean on God by your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of you. He will make your path straight, but you have to step out and trust him first. But you won't trust him if you don't know him. And Jesus said, if you knew the one that was asking for you, do you know Jesus? He's got to reveal himself to you in your area of need. And that's exactly what he did to this woman. He revealed himself as prophet by showing her that the five husbands that you've been going to and the last marriage is a failed marriage. This all got surfaced. The deal was that she was thirsty for love. She was thirsty for acceptance. And he was trying to tell her Those sources are never going to fulfill you, and if you finally turn to me, you'll never have to turn to another relationship for love and acceptance again. It's found in me. If you knew. But the problem is everybody doesn't know. My Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Are we going to be a church that uses our lives to preach? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent, or you're sent? Go and lead a connect group in the name of Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. People don't know what they don't know. And Jesus is desperate to reveal himself to people. That's what he was called to. That's why it starts out in that passage. It says that he had to. He had to. He didn't have a choice. That was the call of his life, was to reveal himself to mankind. We were in a restaurant in a place called Grand Electric. Really good tacos. They didn't pay me to do that. They probably should. On Monday, we were there on Monday. And we were the first ones in there. We sat down. And this waitress came over and asked that first question. You know, there's those questions that waitresses always ask and whatever. It's such an eye roll. Anyway, whatever. I'm getting on a soapbox. Get off the soapbox, Sam. She comes over and asks this question. Do you have any questions about the menu? And I don't know why. I really don't know. Apart from I felt this prompt from the Holy Spirit. And this is the first time I've ever asked someone this question straight out. But I just felt to ask her this question that had nothing to do with the menu. And I just said, hey, what do you think about the afterlife? And she just went, what? And then you could feel the Holy Spirit. It was crazy. It was like in this moment, we have friends with us. It was Ike and Kelsey were with us. And we explained to her that he was a doctor. I said, I want you to call him doctor the whole time that you're waiting on the table. And so she thought that was funny, because I'm funny. And so she said, as a matter of fact, and her attention was arrested. And I believe that in this moment, this Samaritan woman was just, couldn't believe it. How will you as a Jew talk to me as a Samaritan? I can't believe this, but you've got my attention. And she said, actually, recently, I've been thinking about that a lot. What's the next natural question? Why? She said, an ex-boyfriend of mine, just recently, I don't know if you've read it in the news, who was in an Uber car. The Uber driver pulled over on a highway to answer the cell phone, did the right thing, answered the cell phone, then pulled back out onto the road but didn't get enough speed. A truck slammed right into the back of the car, and this friend of hers instantly passed away. I knew why we had to be there. I knew in that moment what God had called us to that point. She didn't know until she knew. And you could feel the Spirit just, and it was like 20 people were coming into the restaurant, filling up the restaurant, and she was ignoring everybody else and just sitting at our table like this. And we just proceeded to tell her that Jesus is greater. I get what you're going through. This is where one of the most powerful things that you can do is relate to someone that doesn't know Jesus and say, me too. Are you too high and mighty as a Christian to say, me too? I'm just going to get the keys up. We got to be able to say, me too. Jesus was thirsty too. That's how he tried to appeal to her. He didn't try and say, do you understand that I'm the rabbi? Do you understand that I have disciples? I know they're not here yet. They're off buying food. But I got a whole bunch of disciples and I'm legit. If you see my Instagram account. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I'm actually thirsty too. Now, at first, she didn't know that he wasn't referring to the water in that well, but he was able to get there. And I said, me too. There was actually a time, and I told her, my mom passed away suddenly, and I started thinking about eternity like I'd never thought about eternity before. My mom had a cerebral aneurysm 4 years ago, and I didn't even get to say goodbye to her. There was this moment, and we exchanged messages, and I get to tell the story this week in church. Soon she'll be a member of our church. We're communicating over Facebook, and she definitely wants to come. I said, actually, this isn't a coincidence right now. Do you know this? Because we lead a church in the city, and the whole table just proceeded. I was like opening up with theology, and like Kelsey is like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And just saying, Jesus is greater. We said, there is a greater peace than the fear that you're facing. There is a greater security in the assurance to know that whatever happens next, that if you receive Jesus, that you can have that assurance. And she's just like, I feel like what you're saying is right. I'm busy the next couple of weeks. And we said, C3. And she's like, oh, is that that church I've read in the Globe and Mail? I'm like, heck yes, that's that church that you've read in the Globe and Mail. God is desperately pouring His living water out to Toronto. He's desperately trying to get people to draw from the right source. He's seeing people in pain that are falling pregnant when they don't want to fall pregnant. That are trying to find life in relationships, but wake up the next day in tears, ashamed. Seeing people trying to drink from wells in a bar, but then don't know how to reverse the cycle, and the anxieties of life hit again, but then I've got to go back again, and the financial strain to keep that habit of drinking whiskey, it's costing so much, but I don't know any other way to medicate. That our city is filled with people that when I'm driving to church on Sunday morning, coming for setup, I'm driving past people that still haven't slept from the night before. And I look at them and I'm like, do you know? You don't know, but you need to know. There is somebody greater. There is a life greater. And I get this have to on the inside of my spirit. I get this call and this arresting on the inside of my spirit where I have to go. I have to speak. I have to share. I have to tell. We got to do it cool. We can't do it weird. Don't make Jesus look weird because you're weird. But you get this have to. I have to say yes to God. I have to take the next step. I have to lead that connect group. I have to reach out. I have to step up to the plate. I know I'm busy. I know I'm tired. The sun is high and I'm exhausted like everybody else. But there is something on the inside of me. There is more campuses that need to be planted. There are more worshipers that need to be released. There are more preachers that need to be released. There are more stories like Sarah. There are more people that just need the well of Jesus, and it is a deep well. We have the faith to draw from it. We need to share that faith. The last point, just in these last minutes, is we must drink the water. Drinking is a verb. He says, whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. He doesn't say whoever watches the water will never thirst again. He doesn't say whoever's heard about the water will never thirst again. He doesn't say whoever bathes in this water will never thirst again. He says whoever drinks. And you can be in church. You can be standing under a waterfall of fresh drinking water. I drank this, I don't know, this bottle of water last week that somebody gave me. It's like Evia or something, has a picture of a mountain. I felt like I was drinking from a mountain. Like it was amazing. Anyway, it was beautiful. Tasted like I was literally drinking from a waterfall. You can stand under a waterfall and you can feel water all over. But until you put out your hand or put out a cup, that little cup of faith, and you take a drink, you can leave that waterfall dry off and still be thirsty. Today, Jesus is calling you to have a drink. with every head bowed and every eye closed right now,